Welcome to a new episode of our Biotexperten-Podcast, the science communication podcast of the Austrian Center of Industrial Biotechnology. My name is Sophie Weinhandl and today's episode is about the economics of biotechnology. My guest is Tommaso De Santis, PhD student in bioprocess engineering. He is an expert of the environmental and economic impact of enzymatic processes. In this episode, we talk about money, economic calculation, and Tommaso's main project, EnCycle, a way to recycle plastic with enzymes. All right, so today I'm at Boku Vienna again, and my guest is Tommaso De Santis. Hello, thank you for being on the podcast.
Hello, and hi to the audience that is listening to us, and it's a pleasure to be here.
So, Tommaso, before we get started with today's topic, can you just briefly introduce yourself and your career path?
Yeah, sure. So my background is purely biotechnological, in the sense that I did my bachelor degrees in biotechnology in Italy, in a small village in the middle of the Apennine Mountains. And there I started to travel abroad because I did two Erasmus when I was doing my bachelor. I see here there is another Erasmus team
yes.
Member. I went to Scotland to do an exchange, and then I also went to Estonia to do a traineeship. And I realized that I quite like living abroad and meeting different kinds of people with different backgrounds. So I continued my journey abroad with my master degree. I did my master degree in the Netherlands in Wageningen University, super specialized on life science and agriculture. And there I also studied biotechnology with more of a focus on process engineering, which is what I'm doing now. And there I was also introduced to economic modeling. And I realized that I enjoyed finding this connection between economics and entrepreneurship and biotech. And so when it was the time to find out what to do after my master degree, it was kind of easy because I knew that I liked this connection. So I found out that there was this PhD opportunity here at Boku for doing economic modeling on an interesting biotech process, such as the one of EnCycle. And I took the opportunity and now I'm here.
Perfect. We're going to talk about your project and your work in a minute. Usually my guests here are talking about the biotechnological processes and that they're more effective than chemical processes. Mm-hmm. But you are talking about the economics, right? So what does a technology need in order to be successful on the market?
Yeah, so this is a very good question, and if I knew the answer, I would probably be rich already. I think in general, a technology in this applied to entrepreneurship especially succeeds if it solves an important problem. And this is valid for all kinds of technologies. If there is a need and you address that need, then most likely you will be successful. And in the case of biotechnology, it depends what we mean with biotechnology, because we say biotechnology, but there are several types. If you talk more about biopharmaceuticals, for example, in that case, the main challenge is to bring your product to the market. And so, for example, you are trying to treat a disease with your biopharmaceutical drug, and if you have to prove that your drug works, and everything else come afterwards. But in the case of, for example, industrial biotechnology, which is more the sector of EnCycle, it's not enough that you bring a product on the market, but that product needs to be better than whatever it's already on the market. And with better, I mean cheaper. This is very important because you're really walking on the edge with these with industrial products. You don't have big profit margins. Sometimes your profit margin is very thin, it's very tiny, and just making it slightly cheaper can make you win once you're on the market. And so, yeah, you need to be really careful about the price of your product and also the ecological aspects. Now we are in the middle of the green transition, at least I hope, I like to think. And now it's also demanded by the market that your product is greener, the one is currently out there. And this adds an extra layer of complexity, because trying to make something cheaper is already difficult enough. And on top of that, to make it also greener, it becomes a huge challenge.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. But you said you can basically evaluate if a specific technology is performing the way we want it to or not. But how are you doing this evaluation?
Yeah. So we can, when it comes to new processes or new technologies, we can use some tools, mostly our computational tools, so softwares basically, that allows you to make an estimation of what the cost of your product will be. And this is just an estimation. It will probably be very far from the actual numbers once your product is on the market, but still you can have an idea of how your product will cost. And how do you do that? You basically collect data, so you collect numbers from the experiments that you have done in the lab, or if you're lucky or in a more in an advanced stage, you can get numbers from a pilot scale study, which means that you already scaled up a little bit your production, and so you have more you have numbers that resemble more the numbers that you will have at an industrial scale. And then you use these numbers to do your modeling with some softwares which are used in the industry. Yeah, there are a number of softwares that can be used for this task. In the biotechnological sector, we use a lot SuperPro Designer, which is the software that I use. And instead, in the chemical sector, Aspen is one that is very famous, very utilized.
So with this software, yeah, you're really collecting the data from the from the lab.
No. This software do the modeling.
Ah, okay.
They do this. They simulate your process in a digital version, but you have to provide the numbers. And this is I always say that this is 80% of the work to collect the numbers. And it's not always easy, because when a technology is new, you don't have a lot of data. Sometimes you have conflicting data. And so you have to make decisions, you have to make assumptions, and make them enough for a model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's get to your main project, basically. What is EnCycle?
Yeah, so EnCycle is the future of recycling. So EnCycle, it's a very nice European project that involves 13 partners. Some are from academia, so university, and some are companies. And what we are trying to do is to develop a technology to recycle plastic. In particular, PET, polyethylene terephthalate, which is the plastic that is used for making plastic bottles. And to do that, we use enzymes. And then we can open a chapter about what are enzymes. But in short, I guess the audience is already knowledgeable about this, but we're talking about proteins that nature used to degrade molecules. And there are some of these proteins we found out are able to degrade also plastic polymers, such as PET. And now we are trying to do that at a bigger scale and try to see if it's commercially possible to do that.
Mm-hmm. And what is the most expensive about it, about the technology, about the project?
Surprisingly, when we started to do the modeling, we found out that the most expensive part is actually the plastic. So people think that plastic waste is free because it's waste. So why would you spend money for it? But that's not true. For a certain type of waste, there is a market. And people pay a lot of money for it, especially depending if this waste is more or less pure. If it's more pure, so it's only contains one material, then the cost is higher than if it's like mixed. And we realized that the cost of buying this waste, represents the majority of the cost of the process. So finding cheap waste would be a major challenge to make the technology possible. And we think we can do that with Encycle, because with Encycle we don't need a very pure waste to be able to recycle it. And currently, existing recycling techniques, they require to have a pretty pure waste, and we don't need that for Encycle.
And the current techniques that you just mentioned, are these also enzymatic techniques, or are these like chemical ones?
So nowadays, the vast majority of the recyclers work with the mechanical recycling, which means there are pretty much no chemicals used. There are simply machines that crush and grind and melt the plastic, and then they generate recycled plastics. However, there are some emerging technologies, in particular chemical recycling. There are different types, subcategories under this family of chemical recycling. One of them is called glycolysis, and which is really promising. And there are major big companies that are investing a lot of money into it. And then there is pyrolysis, which is basically you burn at a specific temperature the plastic, and you obtain an oil that you can reuse in different ways as a fuel or also to make other materials.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say, again, what are the advantages of an enzymatic process?
So there are a few advantages. And the main one, I would say, is the fact that with enzymatic recycling, you can recycle plastic an infinite amount of time. It's an infinite loop of recycling, because what happened nowadays with mechanical recycling, the plastic is not the same as the virgin plastic. It's slightly different, it's worse. It changes colors a little bit, it's weaker, it doesn't have the same properties. And so you can repeat the mechanical recycling only a small number of times until the plastic needs to be disposed in another way, like burned or go to a landfill. With the enzymatic recycling, this is not necessary, because you basically break down the plastic into its building blocks, and then you can reassemble the building blocks to make a polymer that has the same qualities of the virgin polymers. So this is a big advantage of it.
Would that mean that we don't need a new plastics at some point, if there is an endless loop of recycling?
Yeah, so theoretically, if we are able to collect and sort all of the plastic, and we have a well-established enzymatic recycling technology, then yes, in theory, that's possible. If the demand for plastic doesn't increase, in that case, of course, you need to introduce new plastic. But if it remains the same, yeah, in theory, that's possible. However, I think it's probably very difficult that we manage to recycle and collect all the plastics. Currently, the recycling rates for plastic are still not ideal. in some countries are really good, especially for plastic bottles, but in most countries it's below 50%. So I think it's a bit utopistic to think that it's possible, but in theory, yes.
I read that on average, each European generates almost 180 kilos of packaging waste per year. And packaging is also one of the main uses of virgin materials, as 40% of plastics and 50% of paper used in the EU is made for packaging. So what do you think, how exactly can Encycle be part of the solution to this, also for the European Union in general?
Yeah, so first of all, Encycle works with one type of plastic specifically, which, as I said before, is PET. So this is only one of dozens of different types of polymers that are out there in the market. So unfortunately, at the current state of the technology, we cannot take care of all the plastic waste. But specifically for PET, it can play a huge role, because, for example, there are certain types of PET waste, such as, you know, those trays that are used for fruit or vegetables that you find at the supermarket. Most of the time, those are made of PET, and those are almost never recycled. The plastic bottles are recycled very often, because there are also machines that collect these bottles and they give you some money back. I don't know if you have ever used those, but in the Nordic country, for example, they are very successful. But for these PET trays, there is no system, return system for them. And so if we implement a return system, or we manage somehow to separate these trays, and then we can definitely recycle them with the Encycle technology, because other technology cannot recycle those trays. And with Encycle, we can. And so we're in particular focusing on that. Another type of waste is textile, like clothes. A lot of clothes are made of polyesters, and polyesters can also be recycled with enzymes. So this is another potential target for us.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit more about the calculation. How does the calculation work, and how is it even possible to tell in advance for a project like Encycle whether it's economically viable or not?
What I do is, first I do the model. As I said before, we collect the data, we do the model, and this model spits out some numbers. And these numbers are big variety, but the most important one is the unit cost. The unit cost is the cost of a single unit of your product, which a unit can be 1 kilo or one bottle. It depends on what you define as a unit. What you can do then with this unit cost, you can compare it with existing unit costs for other technologies. So, for example, how much does it cost to recycle one bottle with chemical recycling, with mechanical recycling, and with enzymatic recycling? And the one that has the lowest price is, in theory, the best one. However, it's not that simple, because you have to look at other things. For example, the cost of recycled PET is higher than the cost of virgin PET. And people and companies, more than people, companies, still buy recycled PET, because there are regulations in place that demand that plastic consumers use at least a certain percentage of recycled plastic. So they're basically obliged by the law to use recycled PET. And therefore, they're willing to pay a higher price for this material, even though it's not very convenient for them. So, yes, the cheapest win, but you have also to look at other things, such as, for example, the carbon footprints. Maybe later we can talk about LCA analysis. So the environmental impact of your process must also be taken into account.
Let's get to this point, because there is the techno-economic analysis, but also the life cycle analysis, so LCA. Can you explain what is a life cycle analysis and where is the difference between the techno-economic analysis and this one?
Okay, the the difference is quite easy. So techno-economics is more for capitalists because you just look at the cost, how much money does it cost, how much money you can make, and where does your money goes, what's the initial investment that you need to do to build a new facility. And instead, an life cycle assessment looks at environmental aspect. So what is the impact that your technology has on the environment? And it can be how much water you consume, how much carbon emissions you generate, what is the toxicity to humans. So it tried to look at the largest possible number of aspects that affect environmental performance of a technology.
And if you're working with enzymes, which steps usually consume the most water or power, energy?
Yeah, so in terms of energy, we are seeing that there are two steps in particular that might be problematic. The first one is the pre-treatment of the plastic, because for some types of PET, so PET is not all the same. Some it can the crystallinity of the PET can change, and in our with our technology, the lower the crystallinity, the better. The better the enzymes can work. So to reduce the crystallinity, we need to do some sort of pretreatment sometimes, and this pretreatment can consume a lot of energy. Another section of the process that consume a lot of energy is the recovery of all the components. Once you have done the polymerization, you have to separate all the different components that comes out of it. And to do that, you use a process called distillation, which uses heat. And of course, to make heat, you use a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm. If you say a lot of energy, just curious, how much is a lot?
So to give you an idea, in the case of pretreatment, we need to first heat the plastic at 180 degrees Celsius. And then we need to bring down the temperature at something like minus 150 degrees. So it's a huge temperature difference. And this, of course, depending on the volumes, of course, but this generates a lot of energy, requires a lot of energy. And for distillation as well, you need to increase the temperatures to... No, I don't want to say wrong numbers, honestly, but we are talking about a few hundreds degrees Celsius. And also, when we talk about volumes, we talk about thousands of tons per year. So the average recycling plant processes 50,000 tons per year. To give you a comparison, is the weight of, I think, something like a container ship. I did some comparison. So this is the amount of plastic that one recycling plant process per year in a single year. So it's a huge amount of energy that you use.
Mm-hmm. Just to sum that up, so these analysis techniques enable you to tell whether a project or an enzymatic process will be A, economically successful, and B, good or bad for the environment, right? So what do you know about EnCycle so far concerning these questions? Can you just sum that up? Maybe things that you can also tell to the public already?
Sure. So we have already some numbers, both from the economic side and environmental side. So from the economic side, we saw that the technology, in theory, according to our estimation, it's already competitive with mechanical recycling, which is, as I said before, the state of the art. So more or less, we think we can achieve the same cost per unit of plastic recycled. For the life cycle assessment part, so the environmental part, it's a bit more tricky. We are not sure yet. We think that it's probably going to be slightly more impactful than, for example, certain chemical recycling techniques, because they are very efficient, but also because they are more advanced. So when a technology is more advanced, means it's more optimized, has been around for a longer period of time, so the scientists had the time to make a lot of experiments and optimize the numbers. And so obviously the process looks more efficient. But and instead, Encycle is very early stage technology. There is only one company currently that is working with enzymatic recycling at a commercial scale. So instead for chemical recycling, there are already several big corporations working on it. So it's not a fair comparison yet. But I think with further optimization, we can be competitive also from the environmental aspect.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious about the project and how it will go on in the future. We'll now talk about you personally. Mm-hmm. I want to know, why have you chosen this field?
Well, I just found a job on LinkedIn. as I said before, I was interested a lot in the intersection between economics and biotechnology. And I've always been very passionate about entrepreneurship. Now, besides my PhD, I'm also doing another job, actually. I'm working part-time in a venture capital fund. So it's an investment fund that invests in startups, working in the biotech field and also in the circular economy. And I think this is the path that I want to follow, trying to help these new technologies that can bring benefit to humanity to the market, to a very large scale, so to aid the green transition in this way.
Okay, so let's say an 18-year-old person listens to this episode and is interested in your job. What are your top three pieces of advice maybe for them? What do you want to tell them?
So if we talk about the PhD, I would say don't take it too lightly as a decision. If you want to start, do your considerations first, because it's not your typical job. You need higher level of self-discipline compared to other jobs, because yes, you have a boss, you have a supervisor that can help you, but not so much, because you're on your own with your research. You have to do your experiments. In my case, I don't do experiments, but still I need to run my project, define my own deadlines a lot of the times. And if I don't have self-discipline, then you're gonna struggle, and this is a problem, and it can create a lot of frustration and a lot of anxiety. There are studies that show that the rate of depression and mental health issues among PhD students, it's very high. It's okay. Higher than in other professions. And I think a lot has to do with this, the fact that you need you can feel lonely sometimes, and that's why you need to be your own boss. And it can be tricky.
To keep up the motivation.
Yes, to keep up the motivation, to organize your time well, and to also not get discouraged if something doesn't go as planned, because that's part of doing research and doing science, that most of the times things don't work. But it takes 10 trials to have one success. But in the end, when you manage to achieve that success, it's a huge satisfaction.
Yeah. That was already more than three pieces of advice, but I think we're great. What is the most important thing you want to achieve with your work?
So if you talk about specifically about Encycle, I would like to see it reaching a level of technological readiness that is high enough to have a pilot scale experiment, so a pilot scale trial, so that we already managed to scale up the process and show the world that we can make it in a successful and transparent way, also by be very open with our results. And that's not has not always happened in this sector. So I think we are doing that. I'm very proud of that. And more in general, I like the idea of helping new technology to come out from labs and see the real world, entering contact with the people, with the customers, and make the life a bit better, the quality of life, and also help the planet.
That's a perfect ending, actually. Thank you so much for being part of this episode. And yeah, that's it. We're at the end.